Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps this has happened to you. You are seated in a coffee shop, or perhaps you are out to breakfast with your friends, or maybe you are getting your hair cut, or you are at a fast food restaurant, and the neighboring table is having a very lively conversation. You overhear words that are sort of catching your attention, something about faith or Christianity or Jesus, and you can't help but kind of listen in. It's not that you're trying to eavesdrop, it's just something about what they're talking about has your interest. You hear them wrestling with questions about faith, maybe asking questions like, why would God do that? Or maybe they're making statements, proclamations of their faith. Thank God he answered my prayer. We encounter faith conversations like this in our daily life. Sometimes we are engaged in those conversations, and sometimes we hear them happening around us, and we can't help but be intrigued by what others are wrestling with and what their questions might be or how they are speaking about faith. This is at the heart of the story today between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch is wanting to know more about God through the person of Jesus Christ, but is filled with questions. So Philip serves as both evangelist and interpreter, helping the Ethiopian eunuch to understand the prophetic words of Isaiah a little more clearly. This is our second week in the book of Acts of the Apostles. This is a book that lifts up the formation of the early church. Last week, we were reminded that this early church was sent out with the gospel message, sent out from Jerusalem through Judea into Samaria to the ends of the earth, filled with the Holy Spirit. That good news was to be proclaimed. And the early church is trying to figure out how they will go about this. Filled with that Holy Spirit, they're excited to share that good news, but they have to tend to the poor, the needy ones, the hungry ones in their midst. So they divide themselves so that they can care for their people, but also be missionaries sent out. Last week, we were introduced to one of those missionaries sent out with that good news, but we learned that this was risky, that to be given this message could demand one's entire life. So we heard the story of Stephen. Stephen is lauded as the first martyr of the faith. And we are also introduced to how it is that Saul, who is the chief persecutor of Christians, is present at Stephen's stoning. But we know the rest of the story with Saul. Saul, chief persecutor, will become chief proclaimer when he has a conversion experience of his own on the road, and he becomes one who is not ashamed of the gospel. But this week, in Acts, the story that we hear is not of these celebrities like a Stephen, the great martyr of the church, or Paul, great evangelist and proclaimer. We hear about a guy named Philip, one of the apostles sent out among the many of the early church, a missionary sent out to the back roads of Jerusalem, somewhere on the way to Gaza, a wilderness road, we're told. And there he is to go about this work of proclaiming the gospel. And interestingly, on this wilderness road, he encounters a chariot. A chariot of all things? I mean, it'd be kind of like sending one of our missionaries of the church out to the back roads of southeastern Minnesota. Let's imagine somewhere down by like Houston, Minnesota. You know that area, kind of curvy roads and bluff country. You don't want to go too fast, but not too slow. You kind of got to know your way around. Well, imagine a missionary wandering the back roads of Houston, Minnesota, when suddenly there is a slow-moving limousine. And the limousine, making its way on the back roads, rolls down its window, beautiful day like today. And lo and behold, who is inside that limousine but Oprah Winfrey. What would Oprah Winfrey be doing on a back road in the middle of southeastern Minnesota, taking the scenic route to Chicago or to New York City? That's the kind of scene that we encounter today. Philip encountering this chariot, and inside is someone who is clearly of wealth, much like Oprah Winfrey would have no reason to have to be in the middle of nowhere. She's a woman of great wealth, but here is a person of great wealth in the middle of nowhere? Well, here is Philip encountering a chariot, and inside is a person of wealth, a person of color, someone from Africa, a person who we find out in this reading has a specific gender identity, and a person who is associated with royalty. Well, what is interesting is that this Ethiopian eunuch is engaged in reading scripture. And so Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, asks him, literally like running alongside the chariot, asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading in there?" And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he's invited into the chariot to sit alongside of the Ethiopian eunuch, and they start to understand more fully. Philip helps to unfold the scriptures in a way that the Ethiopian is guided to see the good news of Jesus. We all need guides in our lives. We need Philips from time to time, certainly when it comes to faith, but also just in daily life, we need people who can lead us, encourage us, help us to find our way, navigate this world. Some of you know that yesterday was fishing opener. I had the opportunity to officiate at the funeral of Bethel member David Wenzel. Had things been different yesterday, he would have been on the lake up near his cabin enjoying fishing opener. His widow shared with me that he loved to go fishing on their lake associated with their cabin because he knew the best spots to find the greatest catch. This came because of the experience of a mentor, a guide, a dear friend who had showed him those places. When that friend passed away, David felt it his responsibility to share with his other fishing buddies some of these great spots for fishing. One can only imagine that now that David has died, those buddies will become mentors to others who will find just the right place for that catch. Today is Mother's Day. We are certainly mindful of the guidance of our mothers. And if we have not been blessed with a loving relationship with a mother, those who have been like mothers to us, who have offered us their wisdom and guidance throughout our life. Again, in this past year, I officiated at another funeral for a woman who was a dearly beloved mother. As part of that service, a poem was shared that I share with you today. There are times when only a mother's love can understand our tears, can soothe our disappointments, and calm all our fears. There are times when only a mother's love can share the joy we feel when something we've dreamed about quite suddenly is real. There are times when only a mother's faith can help us on life's way and inspire us with confidence we need from day to day. For a mother's heart and a mother's faith and a mother's steadfast love were fashioned by the angels and sent from God above. Often our mothers become our faith mentors, people who embody the love of Christ in their unconditional and supportive love for us. Is it any wonder that on Mother's Day, many mothers hope that their children might worship alongside of them? The Ethiopian eunuch, now opened to the scriptures and the saving work of Jesus must have realized the importance of baptism, because he asks Philip what would prevent him from being baptized as they are traveling along the road. Well, Philip clearly has no reason why not to baptize the eunuch, and so they pull over to the side of the road, and there happens to be some water, and there the baptism happens. We do the same now as the church gathered together. In the midst of worship, we pull over to the side of the sanctuary and we bring that child or that baby or that adult to these waters, and we make promises to them. Not only are they gifted, named, and claimed as children of God, but we make a promise along with their parents and sponsors to place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and to nurture them in faith and prayer. We become the Stephen. We become the Philip. We are the apostle gathered around the baptized to ask questions, to wrestle with faith, to be able to testify to our own experience of the saving work of Jesus Christ. And the good news is we don't have to have it all figured out. We can be alongside one another in this journey toward deeper understanding of what God is doing through faith, how the Holy Spirit is at work in our midst. So I invite you this day to consider your calling as apostle, as one sent out with this good news. Imagine for a moment that you are in that restaurant or in that conversation with someone searching. You have words to share. Will you simply say what it is that Jesus means to you? Will you shy away? Will you want to not share? Will you share everything? How would you experience that conversation? Imagine for a minute you are on a journey. Maybe you are traveling to Minneapolis. Maybe there's an express train that goes to Minneapolis, and you get on board and you sit down, and next to you is someone with their Bible open. Will you have all the answers, or will you engage in Scripture? Maybe it will look something like this.
Excuse me. Sorry.
It's okay.
Here it is.
This is the A train going to Minneapolis. Our next stop will be Zebrota, Cannon Falls, and Rosemont. Change for the C and E trains. When exiting the train, please find the gap.
So, I just got started reading the Bible.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
I just started reading the Bible.
What, you've never read the Bible?
No.
I read it every single day, even twice a day. I read it when I wake up in the morning, and it gives me peace when I go to sleep at night.
Got it. Anyways, I just started reading it, and some things just don't add up to me. They don't make sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me. Old Testament, New Testament. I could recite verse and chapter.
Oh, no thanks, I'm fine. But I was just wondering if you could explain some of these things to me. Like this.
Explain? What's to explain? God created the world, Jesus lived, Jesus died, and he rose again for us. And he tells us that we are to live in love now that we are following him. It makes perfect sense to me. It's clear as a bell.
Well, maybe some of us didn't go to Sunday school when we were kids.
You mean you weren't raised Christian?
As amazing as it may sound, not all of us were.
That's incredible. Well, that's okay. You've got the good book now. You're all set.
Except I'm not all set. Some of these things in here are really confusing, and some of them are really upsetting.
But I found it to be nothing but perfect. Oh, well, this is my stop. Good luck to you.
Okay. I'll see you around.
This is the A train going to Minneapolis. Our next stop will be Rosemont.
Pardon me, is this seat taken?
Oh, no, please be my guest.
Thank you. If you don't mind my asking, are you reading the Bible?
What's it to you? I suppose you'll tell me you read it breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and have the whole darn thing memorized, and are going to tell me that I'm such a bad person.
I wasn't going to say any of
that. Sorry, I'm just a little touchy today. You know, Mondays.
It's okay. As a matter of fact, I read the Bible sometimes myself. There's some weird stuff in there.
Right? Like, there's so much violence, and so many weird rules. Look at this. God keeps on smiting people. What do you think that means, anyways? Smiting people.
I have no idea.
Me neither.
But you know, there's some really good stuff in there, too.
If you say so.
Here. Psalms. Testament of Matthew. Mark. Luke. John. 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life.
I hope that's true.
I do too. I really believe it is. You know, as much as there is confusing about the Bible, the one thing I never find confusing is how the Bible helps me to understand that I am loved by God, that Jesus will meet me where I'm at, even in my questioning.
I see. Oh, my stop's coming up here. Do you have enough time to grab some coffee and keep talking about this?
Matter of fact, this is my stop too.
Excellent.
Let's stop at the Starbucks on the corner.
Sounds great, thanks.
This is the A train, Rosemont. Next stop, Minneapolis.
So, Jesus really walked on water, huh?
Yeah, I changed the water into wine too. You know what? Did you know that God played baseball?
You're kidding me.
No, it's right there in Genesis, in the big inning.
The seeker asks, how will I know unless someone guides me? This is the work of the church. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we become ones who can interpret to share that word with others. You are empowered by that Spirit. It was given to you in baptism. You are filled with that Spirit. Share the good news with joy, with hope, with wonder. Amen. Please rise and